This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers. If you can settle down, please, inshallah, we'll make a start. Jazakumullah khair. Bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the last lecture of today's series entitled The Soul and Its Inevitable Journey. This last lecture is entitled The Actions That Lead to Paradise. And this lecture will be delivered by no other than our Sheikh Ahsan Hanif. And without further ado, I'll hand it over to the Sheikh. فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد. الإمام مالك رحمه الله تعالى, the Imam of Medina, Imam Mudar al-Hijra, one of the greatest scholars ever to live, one of the most well-known and prolific scholars of this ummah, one of the first scholars ever to compile a book of hadith, which became famously known as the Muwatta of Imam Malik. A scholar who lived in the early three generations of Muslims, the three generations that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised, and he extolled their virtues in the famous hadith, خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The best of people are my generation, then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. Imam Malik rahimahullah was from amongst the third generation, what we call the Atba'u al-Tabi'in, the students of the Tabi'in. From amongst his teachers was Nafi' rahimahullah, who in turn was a student of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. And he was a teacher, rahimahullah, of the likes of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, amongst many, many, many others. A giant amongst giants, rahimahullah ta'ala. There's barely a single Muslim today across the Muslim world and the non-Muslim world, except that they've heard of and they know and they're familiar with this name, Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Imam Malik was a scholar and a teacher of hadith. He spent the vast majority of his time busying himself in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, in Masjid al-Nabawi, teaching hadith. That's what he did. That was his job. That's what he did. That's what he spent his time busying himself with. But some of the scholars who also lived in Medina, they were contemporaries of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. They used to at times say to him that you spend too much time teaching hadith, too much time teaching in the masjid, too much time giving lectures. If only you, O Imam Malik, would spend some of that time in ibadah, make more nafil prayers, right? Give more sadaqah, do other types and acts of worship, and spend less time teaching. So Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala replied and he said, "Kullun lima khuliqa lah." Every person, it is easy for them what Allah has made easy for them. Every person, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them a path to Jannah. Certain things are easier for them than other things. This statement of this great and illustrious Imam rahimahullah, even though it is short and precise, but like many of the statements and words of the scholars of the past, it is deep and profound in meaning. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah is acknowledging that after the wajibat, Everyone has to pray, everyone has to give zakah and sadaqah and so on, zakah and fast and so on and so forth. But after you fulfill those obligations, for each and every single person, there is a path to Jannah. But it doesn't mean that my path and your path have to be the same. Nor does it mean that everything that I do, you must do, and everything that you do, I must do, and that everything that this brother does, we must all do. No. Even amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, this was not the case. But rather, each person has a path that Allah has made easy for them. For some people, it is teaching. It is knowledge, seeking knowledge, spreading knowledge, teaching, being an imam, being a khatib. But for other people, they could never stand in front of 10 people, let alone 100 or 1,000. But they have money and wealth, and they can give in sadaqah. Allah has given them wealth, and they spend by day and by night in secret and open. Allah Azza wa Jal alone only knows how much they benefit others through their wealth. Yet there are others who don't have wealth, and they don't have knowledge, they're not speakers, they can't give lectures. But Allah Azza wa Jal has made it easy for them to help others. That's what they do, they help other people. They know that there's in the community a sister, a brother, an elderly person, someone sick, someone ill, someone in need of assistance. And I don't mean wealth, I mean physical assistance. They need some help. Those people, that's what they do. That's what something which is easy for them. It's something which their hearts yearn towards. So they busy themselves in this. Other people know. Never help a person. Will never give a lecture. Doesn't have any money, is penniless. But they're an abid. They spend their time worshipping Allah. They fast Mondays, Thursdays, the three middle days of the month. They're fasting. They're praying during the night and during the day, making nafil. They're reciting Quran. They're busying themselves in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each person has a path that has been made easy for them. Once you fulfill the obligations in which there is no doubt, the basic tenets of your religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made things easy for you. You choose a path that is easier for you. And that doesn't mean that you neglect other paths. That's not the meaning of what I'm saying. But those paths may be more difficult for you. Those paths will take from you more effort, more time. It will take from you more concentration, more determination, more self-discipline in order for you to embark upon them. So you try to the best of your ability. If you're an abid, you worship Allah Azza wa Jal, but you know that there's problems with your character. Not a nice person to be around. You work on that aspect. But if your character is amazing, but then you have some other deficiency, you have wealth, but you never like to give in sadaqah. You give your zakah, but no way is anyone taking another penny. That's something you work upon. You give sadaqah. You train yourself to give in small amounts so that you train yourself to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the most amazing things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with his companions is recognize the strengths of his companions and play to those strengths. The companions, all of them are virtuous and all of them are amazing. And all of them are leaders. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Allah Azza wa Jal praised them in the Quran on a number of occasions. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah says that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. And that's from the greatest shahadat and testimonies that Allah could give, that Allah is pleased with a person or with a group of people. Yet even so, the Prophet ﷺ didn't allow every companion to be a leader. Not everyone was a governor. Not everyone was fit to become the Khalifa of the Muslims. Not everyone was a military general. Not everyone could do what Khalid ibn al-Walid did radiallahu anhu. Yet at the same time, there were companions who excelled in knowledge. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, a prolific narrator of hadith, even though he spent only 2 or 3 years in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet he learnt and memorized and narrated more hadith than companions who were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the beginning of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he saw the companions gathered around him during the day, would say to them, "Go and work. You have families, you have children, you have dependents. Go and work." And so Umar radiallahu anhu would take turns. One day he would stay with the Prophet ﷺ, as you know, one day he would work and his friend would do vice versa, and then they would meet in the evening and discuss this. But he never said this to Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira was from amongst the poorest companions. Poorest companions, had no job, had no source of income, used to go hungry for days, no food, no drink. Yet the Prophet ﷺ never said to Abu Huraira, "Why are you wasting your time? Why don't you go and work?" Because he knows that Abu Huraira, he can memorize. He's going to memorize the sunnah. He's going to memorize thousands of a hadith. رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, a young companion by the time of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only came to Medina after the conquest of Mecca in the 8th year of the Hijrah. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees in him a natural ability to learn and memorize and master the Quran, the tafsir of the Quran. So he makes dua for him in the tafsir of the Quran, and that's what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma becomes a great giant in, becomes prolific in the tafsir of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point being from all of this is that every single person has a path to Jannah that Allah has made easy for them. Just because you find one thing difficult doesn't mean that there are not other options open to you. Not everyone can do everything. But what Allah has made easy for you, then at least excel in what Allah has made easy for you. If Allah has made it easy for you to give charity, to seek knowledge, to do ibadah, whatever is easier for you, then at least take advantage of that. So the point that I want to mention, because the topic is very broad, actions that lead to Jannah, right? That's like everything in Islam. Actions that lead to Jannah. What I wanted to focus upon is something which, whichever action you choose, it is one of the most neglected aspects of any action. One of the most neglected aspects of any action that we perform. And it is also one of the most underestimated aspects of our actions. And that is the intention, an-niyyah. Because whatever you choose to do and excel in, you can only excel and really benefit if your intention is in its right place. And having that intention in its right place will give you two benefits. The first, as we know, it's a precondition for that action to be accepted. Your action won't be accepted unless you have ikhlas. You have sincerity in your intention. It is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Call upon Allah, making your religion sincerely for His sake. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they were only ordered to worship Allah, making their religion sincerely for His sake. That's something which we know. But the second aspect of the intention that is extremely powerful, that we underestimate and often neglect, is that that intention, Allah Azza wa Jal looks at it before your action. That intention, Allah looks at it before your action. And often your reward is determined by your intention, not by your action. And that is why a person may intend something, but never achieve it. Yet they will still have the greatest of reward. Whereas a different person does many actions, but he has problems in his intention. So he receives little reward. Then the Prophet tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perhaps a person prays, and they only take from their prayer a half, or a quarter, or a third, or a sixth, and so on and so forth. And perhaps a person prays, and he doesn't take anything from it. He's praying, he's next to you, on the right, on the left, you're standing in the same masjid, in the same saf, behind the same imam, reading the same prayer, making the same actions. But this person doesn't take a reward, and the other one takes the full reward. Because of the intention and the way that it differs between the two. Our Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in what is authentically collected by Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, on the authority of the companion Abu Kabshat Al-Anmari, radiyallahu anhu, it's a long hadith, but towards the end the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لِأَرْبَعَةِ نَفَرٍ. There are only four types of people on this earth. Four types. Me, you, people around us, our families, our children, everyone falls into these four types. The first is the one to whom Allah has given them wealth and He has given them knowledge of the religion. So this person, because of the knowledge of their religion, they are sincere in their wealth. Wealth is the example of the dunya, right? This is the person has deen and dunya. They have religion and this world. This person, because of the sincerity of their actions, and because of the knowledge that they have, they know how to use that wealth to please Allah. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes that wealth and he spends it in the path of Allah. He fulfills the rights of Allah, and he fulfills the rights of others, and he brings his family closer together. He's a source of good. He's a person that is a person of good. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, grading him, giving him a grade, فَهُوَ بِأَفْضَلِ الْمَنَازِلِ. This is the best type of person. Allah has given them blessings of the dunya, But they know how to use those blessings to please Allah Azza wa Jal. The second type of person, and this is the point of this hadith, and the point that I want you to notice. The second type of person, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَجُلٌ, a man or a person, Allah gave to them knowledge of the religion, but He didn't give them wealth. They have knowledge, but they don't have wealth. But because they have knowledge, they understand the power of intention. So what does this person do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this person says sincerely within himself, makes a firm conviction and intention, Oh Allah, if I had wealth like that first person had wealth, I would spend it just as they spend it. Meaning I would give it for your sake. I would help the needy and the poor. I would bring my family closer together. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, giving this person a grade, فَهُوَ بِنِيَّتِهِ فَأَجْرُهُ مَا سَوَى. This person will be rewarded for what? For their intention. And their reward is equal to the first. Isn't that amazing? That is the power of intention. The first person is a millionaire. He spends and he spends and he spends and he spends. Gives sadaqah day and night, open and secret. The second person doesn't have a penny. Like we say, right? Can't rub two pennies together. Doesn't have anything. But he has sincerity. And Allah knows that this person is truthful in what they say. And if Allah did give them wealth, they would do as they say. It's not just a fake intention, it's true. And Allah knows its sincerity. So Allah rewards them like He rewards the first. فَأَجْرُهُمَا سَوَىٰ. The Prophet ﷺ said they are equal in reward by not even spending a single penny. And that is the beauty and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla's religion is not based upon things like wealth. Allah doesn't judge people based on things like this. But a person who doesn't have wealth can do so with their actions and with their intention. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left from Medina to go to the Battle of Tabuk in the 9th year of the Hijrah, and he had companions and he gathered them and he told them, we're going to fight the Roman Empire, the Byzantine Roman Empire in those times in Tabuk. That direction, towards modern day Syria and so on. We're going. Many of the companions were unable to go because of their poverty. Poor. Don't have wealth for weapons, for horses, for camels, for donkeys, for weaponry, for shields. We can't travel. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to leave them behind. And Allah describes them as shedding tears. Those companions, that they shed tears because they couldn't find anything to go with. They couldn't find money to spend in the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So they were left behind. But as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled with his army and they're on the way to Tabuk, and it's a month's journey, distance between Medina and Tabuk is a month in those times. They're walking through valleys and through mountain passes and in the desert with the heat and so on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, we haven't passed through a single valley nor a single mountain pass except that our brothers in Medina have an equal reward. An equal reward, حَبَسَهُمُ الْعُذْرِ. But they stayed behind for a legitimate reason. They had an excuse. They couldn't come out. But they have the reward of what we did. Those companions didn't take a step outside of Medina. These companions are going through the heat and the difficulty of carrying weapons and armor. And they're traveling for a month there. They will fight and they will take a month back. But those companions in Medina, those poor companions, have the same reward. Why? Because of the power of their intention. When you understand this concept, you understand this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the second type of person. Because not all of us have been given wealth. Not all of us are rich. Not all of us can give much in charity. We do what we can, but we don't have much wealth. But if you had that intention, then you could have a similar reward. And it's not just wealth. If you see someone giving lectures, spreading religion, busy in da'wah, but you don't have the ability, but you have that sincere intention, then Allah inshallah would give you that same reward based upon your level of sincerity. You see other people, they're busy helping others and doing it and so on, and you are unable to do so for a legitimate reason, sincerely, right? It's not like I'm sitting at home on my couch, on my sofa, like, yeah, I'd like to do that. That's not the meaning of the hadith. Sincerity. with a sincere intention, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give you the same reward. And that is the beauty of this religion. And that is why everything that we have in this religion, it is open to everyone. If you have that sincerity, you have that sincerity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at that. Then the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَبَقَ dirham أَلْفَ dirham, or سَبَقَ دِينَارٌ أَلْفَ دِينَارٌ. One dinar overcame 1,000 dinars. They said, how, O Messenger of Allah, how does one dinar equate to more than 1,000? He said, because the one who gave 1,000 has much wealth. And he gave 1,000. But the one who gave one dinar only had 2. So he gave 1. For this person, it's half their wealth. In quantity, it is much, much less. But in quality, in sincerity, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is far, far greater. So every action that you do, do it to the best of your ability, with the sincerest of intentions. And then that which is beyond your ability, which you can't do, which you hope to do, but you're unable to do so, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you the reward for your intention. And that's why the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا هَمَّ عَبْدٌ, when you have the intention in your heart to do a good deed, if you perform that good deed, you are given 10 rewards, up to 700. 10 to 700 is your reward. But if you had that intention and you were unable to do it for a reason, you wanted to go, but you became ill, you were traveling, some other reason, Allah writes it as a single deed. It's still counted as a good deed. Why? Because of that intention. And that good deed can become greater and greater and greater. But when you plant the seed now, then inshallah you will see its reward many, many times. You will see its reward over time. So the scholars of Islam, many of them, if not all of them, it was their parents who, when they were young children, would inspire them, encourage them to become scholars, to learn Islam, to learn the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, to study the Quran and the Sunnah. Not because my child will become a scholar, or is going to become a famous imam, or is going to give lectures or become famous. No, because they want them to learn their religion. But because of their sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed their efforts. So they became great scholars of Islam. The scholars that today we still refer to. We still ask Allah to shower His mercy upon them. Their legacy survives, and it survived for over 1,000 years. And the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal gives us examples amongst the prophets. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the family of Imran, who, even though they were not prophets, they would have children who would become prophets. Isa alayhi salam would come from that family. But they had the intention, O Allah, give us righteous children. We want to plant that seed. It's our intention. We don't know what's going to happen. I may not even live to see that child reach adulthood. But you plant that seed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses your intention and your efforts. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about these two people. One who has the ability, meaning that when you have the ability to do something, you do so. It's not just about wealth. You have the ability to spread knowledge, do so. You have the ability to do more ibadah, do so. When you combine that knowledge that you have of your religion, meaning what pleases Allah, with the action that you are able to perform, that is from the greatest levels of ibadah. But if you don't, if you have the knowledge, but you don't have the physical means or the ability or the financial means, then Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the reward. We have Hajj coming up, right? Hajj, everyone's getting ready, or some people are getting ready to perform Hajj, and we're hearing it's time for Hajj, people are going for Hajj and so on. But the vast majority of people can't go for Hajj. They don't have the physical or the financial means to go for Hajj. But you can have the intention, oh Allah, if I had the ability, I would have made Hajj this year. And Allah knows that you're sincere. If you had the money, you would have been on that plane. And next year, and the year after, and in Ramadan, oh Allah, if I had the ability, I would make Umrah in Ramadan. Allah will give you the reward of that. Allah gives you the reward of that intention in every act of Islam. Those two people are the greatest of people. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned two other categories of people. And now we're going to the other side of the spectrum. The third type of person. The Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَرَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا. A man that, or a person to whom Allah gave to them wealth. But they don't have knowledge of the religion. They have the dunya, they have the means, but they don't have knowledge. They don't know what pleases Allah. They don't know what Allah wants. So what do they do with the wealth? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they don't please Allah. Nor do they give the rights of their wealth to the poor and the needy. And instead of bringing their family closer together, they break them apart. And isn't that what we often see amongst many of our families? Our families fight over wealth, land, property, inheritance. They fight over this. And brothers don't talk to sisters, parents don't talk to children because of this land, because of this property, because of a sum of money. So now these people have broken their families apart. The Prophet ﷺ said concerning grading this type of person, فَهُوَ بِأَخْبَثِ الْمَنَازِلِ. He is the worst of people. And the word khabith in the Arabic language, as you probably know, it's also used in other languages, means filthy, impure. He's the worst of people. أَخْبَثِ الْمَنَازِلِ. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the fourth type of person. The fourth type of person is a person that doesn't have wealth and doesn't have religion. Miskeen, they don't have anything. They don't have wealth, but they don't have knowledge of the religion. But what do they have? They still have intention. But because they don't know what pleases Allah, they don't have knowledge of their religion, rather than intending and aspiring to be like that first category that obeyed Allah with their wealth, they want to be like the third category. Because they see this person's chilling. They're enjoying life. They're enjoying their wealth. They spend as they please. They do what they want. So they become their role model because of a lack of knowledge, because of a lack of what of knowing what pleases Allah and what displeases Him. So the Prophet ﷺ said, and this person makes that intention, of Allah, if I had wealth, I would be like this person. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَهُوَ بِنِيَّتِهِ فَوِزْرُهُ مَا سَوَى. Allah will judge this person also according to their intention, and they will be equal in sin. Equal in sin. Again, this person doesn't have money, never spent a penny, didn't do anything, but because of the power of their intention, they are equal in sin. Works both ways. Right? As we know, showing off is in the heart. But if that's your intention, it nullifies your action. So it works both ways. This hadith of the Prophet ﷺ shows to us the importance of the actions that we can perform and the actions that we can't perform. Both of them are judged by this very, very seemingly insignificant. It seems to be small and insignificant, but in actuality and reality, it is extremely important and it is extremely great in this religion, and that is the power of intention. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the famous scholars of the past, he said, مَا عَلَجْتُ شَيْئًا أَشَدُّ عَلَيَّ مِن نِيَّتِي. I never tried to work on anything that I found more difficult than my intention. Never found anything more difficult than my intention. Why? Because shaitan comes and he whispers. You start your salah and you only have Allah's pleasure in your mind. But as soon as you say Allahu Akbar, shaitan comes from this side and that side. And he tells you so-and-so's there and so-and-so's watching and this and that. And before you know it, that salah that was only for Allah has now become a mishmash of so many different intentions. That's what shaitan does in every single thing that we do. So Sufyan al-Thawri, a great scholar of Islam, one of the greatest scholars of Islam, said that I found it more difficult than anything else. Every day, he said that I would fight my own intention. I would fight my desires. I would fight the whisperings of shaitan. Every day, I would work on this issue of sincerity. It's not enough that you work on it once a year or once in your lifetime when it's something that just passes through you every so often. It is something that every day, in fact, for every action that you perform, you look at yourself and your intention. But if it is sincerely for the sake of Allah, then you can transform anything into an act of worship. If you're at work, you're sitting on a computer desk, you're a mechanic, you're a plumber, whatever you may be, but your intention is, oh Allah, I'm doing this to please you, to earn a halal rizq, to feed my family, to gain wealth that is halal that I can then spend in ways that please you. Every single moment of your job would be ibadah. It would be an act of worship. You would be rewarded for it. If before you went to sleep at night, your intention is, oh Allah, I'm sleeping so that I will wake up for Fajr and I will pray. You will have reward for every single moment of your sleep, for food, for drink, for everything. Then the Prophet tells us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if a person has marital relations with their spouse, they are given sadaqah. It's rewarding. Why? Because of the intention for which they did it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great door of mercy, this great opportunity to earn reward. Anything that you do, if you work on your, and it sounds easy, right? I'm saying work on your intention. It is actually one of the most difficult things to do. Because mankind forgets. Shaitan comes. Other things come in the way. We become neglectful. Over time, we completely forget that there's even such a thing called intention. But if you can train and discipline yourself, bit by bit, step by step, on a daily basis, it is one of the greatest ways of earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever actions that you do, so long as they are permissible and so long as they are pleasing to Allah azza wa jal. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night that Allah azza wa jal makes us sincere in our intentions, and that Allah gives us the ability to be people of sincerity, and that Allah rewards us for the actions that we perform, and for those actions that we are unable to perform but we have the intention to perform sincerely for His sake. هذا والله أعلم ونسبة العلم إليه أسلم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
جزا الله شيخنا خير الجزاء. جزاكم الله خير, brothers and sisters, for attending and listening attentively. For those of you brothers who are taking part in the Tarbiyah camp, if you could all make your way into the community hall, inshallah. وجزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك